Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I have looked forward to this time. These times that we have together are always such a blessing for me, and I look forward to today. I hope that you look forward to our times, that they help you grow in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. I hope that you're having a great day where you are, both in terms of the circumstances of your life, but most of all, your walk, your relationship with the Lord, that you're growing in Him, that you're knowing Him better, trusting Him more. And again, I hope these times help you in that. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible, but obviously more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer. Excuse me, please. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord God, the wonderful God that you are, your love, your mercy, your grace, Father, for creating us, Father, for recreating us through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son by faith and trust in him, Father, for adopting us as your children, for wanting us to have an eternal relationship with you. Father, for giving us this time where you want to speak to us. You want us to know you, to see you, to grow in you, to be able to trust you more. Father, be able to share you better. Father, I just ask as we come together, as we open your word, Father, that you open our mind and our hearts. Lord, that we'll hear from you. Lord, that we will in fact see you better. Lord, draw us close in this time, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, it is good, again, for us to come together before our Lord, and what a wonderful Lord we have to come before. What a God is worthy of our praise, our trust, our adoration. You know, if we really just stop and think who God is and what God has done, our hearts would overfill with admiration for Him, with praise, with worship, with love, with trust. And this is exactly what we see as we look at Psalm 148, relatively short psalm, only 14 verses long. But let's go ahead and read through the psalm to begin with as we look at some of the wonderful truths that are here. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all of His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever, and He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and He's lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all of His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. You know, we look at this psalm. We are reminded, you know, why we ought to praise the Lord, why He's worthy of that praise. But through that, we see once more who He is, and it causes us to love Him more, guides us, and actually enables us to trust Him more. And so you think of the reasons that are outlined here for us to praise the Lord, and several of them you see as recurring themes throughout the book of Psalms, but the more we look at them, the more we see that there is to understand there. As we begin looking at the reasons to praise the Lord, the first one that we see described here is His creation. Did you notice how the psalmist dealt with all that God created from the heavens? From heaven all the way down to us. You think about heaven, as we think about it, verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all of His angels. Praise Him, all His host. But not only does He talk about what we refer to as heaven, but then He works down to what we'd call the heavens. Again, you think about what we see in verses 3 and 4. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. You think about the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the atmosphere. You think about how all of it shows God's tremendous power, His perfect wisdom in making all of that come together and stay together. But then He comes down even further and He begins to look at the earth. Look at verses 7 through 10. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. You know, the earth, the weather, the various creatures. You think about how all of that speaks about God's wonderful creative power and His perfect wisdom in making it. I've shared before, I love to look at creation. I love to be out in creation. I love going on my morning walks just before the sun breaks the horizon and just being able to hear the birds, just feel the freshness in the air, see the tracks from the animals that had walked through the night before, sometimes getting a glimpse of them as they run back into the woods. It always reminds me of the wonderful, incredible God that we have. One who could in fact just imagine such a world to create, then be able to speak it into existence. And the one for whom it all exists. What a God we have. But then the psalmist goes down even further. He comes down to our level. He comes down to the level of man. Look at verses 11 and 12. Kings of the earth and all princes. Princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. You think about God's creation of man. Exalted among God's creation. Psalm 8 says only a little lower than God, and that means because we were made in a capacity to know God, unlike the rest of His creation. But you know, not only think about our position, but you just think about how we are made. You know, Psalm 139 talks about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we've commented on this before. You just take a second just to watch your fingers work, and you watch that offset thumb work. What an incredible God we have. You know, my father was a mechanical engineer, and excuse me, I was under the weather over the weekend. And I can tell you, an engineer would give just about anything to be able to design a system like your hand. And just something that can work so smoothly, so efficiently, so effectively. That offset thumb is a masterpiece of design and engineering and workmanship. And yet we have a God who can in fact conceive of such a thing and then just simply speak it into existence. What a God we have. And as we've stated before, did all of that from absolutely nothing. You look around you. If you're inside, look out the window. He made everything. And if you're inside, look at everything that you see there, because everything that you see is made from raw materials that He made. The furniture is made from wood, from trees that God created. What a God we have. He made it all. What a God who's worthy of our praise and our trust. What a wonderful God. But we not only see, you know, His wonderful creation that He has made, but we also see His sovereignty. Look at verse 6. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. You think about what it says there. He established them forever and ever. In other words, they exist because He wanted them to exist. They continue to exist because He wants them to exist. He has a plan and a purpose for them existing, and they will fulfill that. Our God is, in fact, sovereign. And what a comfort that ought to be for us as we look at this world that is increasingly chaotic and dysfunctional, increasingly evil, to know that God is in control. He's only allowing it to go so far to the fulfillment of His own ultimate perfect good plan. Our God rules and reigns. And every day, every episode that we see, is a testimony of that. our God is in fact sovereign, and how we ought to praise Him for that, and how that praise ought to lead us to trust. When we stop and we think again, God is the Creator, God's the sovereign ruler of everything, inside and out, it ought to calm our heart and enable us to trust Him. But then we also see number three, His glory. Look at verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. You think about the glory of our Lord as the Creator, as the ruler, that sovereign one we've talked about. How that ought to talk about His absolute glory. I know many times we look at what's taking place and we wonder why God is doing it this way or allowing things to happen for so long, going so fast in this direction, whatever the case may be. That's because of our limited understanding right now. The time will come when God does fulfill His plan and His purpose, and we will be there to see it if we've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And what we'll recognize is, God, Your plan was perfect. Your timing was perfect. God, You are absolutely perfect in the way You went about every single thing. All of this ultimately gives glory unto God. Just as the existence of this world gives glory unto God, the way in which God will resolve everything in this world will give glory unto Him. But it's not just what God does, it's who He is, it's His person. Again, you just think about His perfect wisdom in what He does. You think of the power that He has. You think of the character that He has. His glory. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. And the more we see Him, the more we'll praise Him, the more we'll praise Him, the more we'll trust Him. But then notice as well, and I'm having to move somewhat quickly just because of my cold, His grace. You think about, why can we come before and be accepted by a God such as this? We have no place before such a God. But by His grace, He has made a way for us. He has in fact reached to us. You think about what we see in verse 14. But He has lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all of His godly ones. His people. Why? Not because of anything that we've done. Not because of anything that we can pay back. Not because we have a shred of goodness within us, either in our heart or in our conduct. But because of His own grace. In terms of Him sending His Son to be our Savior, to die upon the cross and rise again. Him sending His Savior to bring us, Him sending His Spirit to bring us to faith in the Savior so we can experience that wonderful salvation. It is all, in fact, a work of His grace. You know, the fact that we can open God's Word is a work of His grace. The fact that He gives us understanding, that's a work of His grace. The fact that we even want to open His Word is a work of grace within our heart that He has used to draw us to Himself. What a wonderful God of grace. God had every right. He had every right to go ahead and blot us out of existence because of our sin. He had every right simply just to turn His back on us and let us go into eternal judgment, which we rightly deserved. But this wonderful God chose to intervene, send His Son, bring us to faith in His Son, and adopt us as His children. What a God we have. What a reason to praise Him. And when we praise Him, we think about all that He's done. How can we not trust Him with everything? And that leads us to the fifth reason, and that is, in fact, His loving kindness. Look again at the latter part of verse 14. Even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. You think about, what does this God want? God, who created everything, rules over everything, can have anything He wants, and yet what is it that He wants? Us. And what does He want to do in us? Bless us. Fill us with His love. He wants to bring us near to Him. A place of blessing, a place of honor, a place of experiencing His goodness. The outpouring of His blessings. you stop and you think about all the ways God has blessed you. What a reason to praise Him. And by the way, again, we start thinking about all those reasons to praise Him, we see the reasons to trust Him. This incredible God, by His grace, has adopted you as His child through Jesus Christ, which means He is your Father through Jesus Christ, both your Creator, but also your Father. And what He wants is for you to spend eternity knowing His limitless love for you, and wants to pour out upon you His loving kindness. What an awesome, incredible, wonderful God we have. No wonder the psalmist said, "Praise the Lord," because what a God we have to praise. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for reminding us, O God, of how great and wonderful and marvelous You are. Father, help us to take just a moment to stop from all that we're seeing and hearing, and to turn our mind and our heart back to You, not as avoidance, but, O God, for stability, and to center our minds and our thinking. And Lord, may we see You as the Creator and the Sovereign. Father, the One who, in fact, is full of grace and loving kindness. And Father, may our hearts be lifted into praise, and may they be motivated, O God, into trust, for You are worthy of both. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you have a great day today. I hope that you walk even closer to this wonderful God who has so loved you and brought you unto Himself. And I hope that through this day you know His love even more, His goodness even more. And I hope that you have a wonderful day of fellowship with Him.